generally, or more specifically in professional sport?
Yeah, look, it's my role at the moment is my comms manager, so I'm involved in creating all the content as well. And I think it's a time management exercise as much as anything, because you know you've got lots of different distractions and things happening. And I think I've really learned some key disciplines there and how to structure my time and resource and effort. We've developed some really good strategic approaches actually as well, which I'd like to share at some point, but if it's appropriate. But the key thing is about being focused on your key objectives. So two or three things and focus on those rather than trying to do everything under the sun.
So you mentioned the focus has got to be on the key objectives. You know, you've obviously been involved in Cardiff Blues before, and hopefully be involved again. But what do you think those key objectives would be for you if you were sort of successful?
Yeah, growing matchday attendances and revenues, number one. I think the secondary part and some of the elements to doing that are overhauling your marketing efforts and activities in terms of introducing these digital elements, embedding data-driven activities at the heart of what we do, improving the... I think there's some stuff we could do around with the matchday experience as well to raise the bar. And then look at across the piece. So secondary spend, what are we doing in retail? Are we doing in terms of season ticket holders and benefits, and how we make sure they get that retention up as high as possible? I know, I don't know what the churn rate is currently, but obviously you're coming into a new cycle of season tickets, so I guess the immediate focus is going to be on that to some degree too. And then look longer term down the road, you know, if there's changes afoot here, then there could be really exciting opportunities.
And in terms of, you sit on the outside, I know you're still a sort of follower, supporter of Cardiff Blues, and there's a sort of, for various reasons, and you keep an eye. So you mentioned earlier about Mike doing sort of the video content, but I guess that sort of sits outside of sort of marketing. The two do need to come together a bit more closely. What do you think sort of Cardiff Blues do well in the marketing arena in Cardiff and South Wales? And I think you answered the question earlier, what needs to improve on, but it's I'm asking about seven different questions there. What do you think the perception, you've got a perception, but what do you think the perception of the Cardiff Blues brand is at the moment?
I still think it's a bit of a sleeping giant. I think that I'd like to say it since Reece hung up his boots, but I'm not sure it's connected. There's been a more fallow time, right?
Some people have been there. Yeah.
And and that started before you came on board, Rich. So look, it's been the club's gone through a process and moved back. I think this is the home of the club, and so the opportunity is great. I mean, look, the coupled with improvement on the field, I think that we can push this business forwards to being back amongst the top table of European rugby. And at the moment, I guess there's a feeling of underachievement and perhaps under-resourced, and that probably resonates out with the support base.
Yeah. How much success is, or marketing success, marketing success, I guess, is can be easily attributed to the number of people coming through the turnstiles by sort of the on-field performance. I mean, we can do all this great stuff, can't we? We can do some brilliant stuff with two circles.
Yeah.
We can chuck another 100 grand of stuff. But if they're fucking shit out there and we're continuing to be middle of the table, I think we know the answer to it, don't we? But we're only ever going to be...
Look, it makes it easier, doesn't it? It makes it easier. Yeah. If the team's winning, people like supporting a winning team. You know? Fickle bunch, the Welsh, and I like to count myself amongst that number, having been here long enough. But it's not the be-all and end-all. There's a lot you can do, and I think it's proven... there are examples where sports teams, through fan engagement and involving them as part of the team and making them feel part of that journey... you take them along the way, and I think you have to give people that opportunity to be part of the team. So whether that's, you know, my content-led approach would be to give them behind-the-scenes access to create opportunities and experiences that they enjoy. And I think what people really want to see is the team giving their best and their all. Doesn't necessarily mean if it's if it's a win or a lose. And actually, you know, around match day experience, okay, atmosphere comes from people. So it comes from, you know, putting on a show that's enjoyable. And if you lose by 5 points, then actually that's potentially more enjoyable experience than winning by 50.
Yeah, we just disappointed a fan. You mentioned fan engagement and match day experience. We've actually there was a tactical reason for doing it, but the more we actually, it seems to be cropping up quite a bit recently, isn't it? Yeah. We've created a role for a fan engagement / match day experience manager role.
Great.
The reason we created it was to help. So you know the person who's going to be taking the role, Johnny. And the reason we initially looked at it was because we wanted someone else to take over.
Free up different resources.
So,
okay.
So we kind of did it, but now we've done it, this just keeps cropping up. And what's interesting is I think, you know, we've been sort of discussing where that sits and who and where it reports to, and listening to you, it's kind of just maybe it is
an extension,
it is into the marketing.
It's about creating the right metrics too, isn't it? So you can use that role positively to show that you're making an impact. And I think, you know, there's a report coming out, if it hasn't already just come out this week, of the 92 football teams and who has the best fan engagement on social. All right, and not to answer your question back, I'll give you a guess. Like, have a guess. Who do you think would be the best fan engagement team out there in terms of the metrics they're using?
Rugby or football?
Based on following, number of retweets, likes,
a Premiership football team
implies across the 92 teams.
92 teams. Well,
not making it easy.
All the football league.
But it begins with a W.
Wolves.
Wickham.
Wickham Wanderers.
No, where are they? They don't have to be Premiership to have the best engagement. It's about they're a smaller fan base than Man United. Engaged fan base, right?
Yeah.
So they're on it all the time. They're on the button, you know, communicating, responding, sharing, giving people access to stuff they wouldn't normally get.
Yeah.
And that fan base loves that. And I think even with the might of resources of Premiership teams, you know, you just have having that personal touch and that one-to-one relationship, and you can do that low budget as well as high budget.
Yeah.
I think of the Premiership team, someone like Southampton do really good stuff as well. Creative, well-designed, well-executed campaigns.
How close do you let them in? Because, you know, I'm a... We met the sports club on Monday night.
Yeah.
We had that chat beforehand, and it's like, you know, strange old bloody
people. Yeah,
right.
They haven't changed,
I
bet,
since
6 years.
No, they've not. You know, they're working your tits off, and then they come on and try and... you know, give you all this. It's, I guess, you have to let them in, otherwise, because they're such an integral part to the success of we've actually got to let them in closer, is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, you know, you're going to be sensitive things at times, and you don't necessarily want that to come out. So, I'm not saying it's, everyone come down, but, you know, you're just going to get that access. So, again, it's right time, right place, and I think you've got, it's more than a sports club, isn't it? You know, 50,000 followers across social. So how do we bring those people close to the business and bring them on a journey that they want to buy
a
match ticket to?
So they're being sort of prioritised in whatever's going on in the club, rather than reading it from fucking Andy Howell in the Western Mail.
Quite right.
And
your content.
And the other bit that I don't understand why an entity such as Cardiff, I mean, it'd be interesting to get your thoughts on that. An entity such as Cardiff Blues. Why do we have a press conference every week up at the Vale? Because we've got 60,000 followers. We've got the ability to push this into the market, and they will take it. The media will take any stories that we do. And I think the Ospreys have started to do it. They've just gone, do you know what? We don't actually need to leak stuff to Western Mail or to flip in here, because it'll end up there eventually.
Yeah.
We should be controlling and actually giving it to our.
Yeah.
Talk to our people first.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you've got to.
And that's part of the engagement thing.
Yeah, you've got to deliver that content first for it to be, you know, know, seeing your resource.
So if we do
find
the halfpenny, do you know what? It's
it's our story.
Yeah.
And we use that content to, you know, we do a Facebook piece that's picture-led about Pence playing back here, and we do Instagram delivery that announces it there too, and it's all syndicated, and Twitter comes first in news, and the web story's there, and the press release goes out.
Yeah. It's all, and there's a proper sequence of events that happens.
And yeah, they want an exclusive chat with him next week, that's fine. When he arrives, or whenever there's availability, we do that, sits down and have a chat. You know, I think you still want to have an open door policy to the media, but it has to be on your terms.
Yeah. So, looking around, sort of, obviously we've got three other regions within Welsh rugby, but then we're in the Pro 12. But so, do you see our competitors or oppositions as, is it a threat, or even looking at brands, is it a threat or is it an opportunity to support marketing?
Centrally, in coordination with the other regions.
Yeah, or we've seen instances where we would have come up with a campaign, and Ospreys, for instance, would belittle it.
Right. Okay. Well, I think it depends how and when. So, you know, I think if it's on social, then I think you've got a personality and a profile there. You've got a bit of banter is probably good, but at the right time. So I think, you know, you'd want to have relationships with those people offline that are strong enough that, yeah, if you're having a bit of a jab at us, then we're going to have a jab back kind of thing. But not to start a war. And I think more importantly, you know, your messaging should be what your fan base wants to hear. So it doesn't really matter what the Ospreys fan base thinks. It's about you're talking to your audience.
Yeah.
So where am I going with this? The rivalry within Welsh rugby is something that needs to be harnessed, because probably one of the hardest things you've got at Glamorgan is a lack of a natural rival.
Yeah.
So every game we play is England v Wales, but I think we need to be like, again, in terms of marketing resource, you can't have an infinite amount of spend, so you need to back the right games. And clearly, if the date's full, then normally it's the major matches that give you the opportunity to do that. So if Dragons sells out at Christmas and you don't need to spend marketing money on it, great. But, you know, make it bigger and shout about those things to drive that feeling of scarcity across the piece. So scarcity drives ticket sales.
Yeah,
it's not about, and that can be around seating sold, family stand sold, whatever it is. Doesn't need to be about the whole, we're still at 6,000 sold and we've got 2 days to go, we're not going to sell the thing out. Talk up the good parts of the sales. And I think, you know, some of the so there's, again, if you can create opportunities where scarcity messages are there, then that will just impact across the piece.
Can you talked about the rivalry and conflict. People like that, don't they? So with social media, can you, in your opinion, should you stage it? Should it actually be collaboratively?
Yeah.
I think that's what you were sort of.
Competitive without being conflictual, though.
So if you got together with Mr.
Marketing
and said, right, let's get Alan Wynn's have a fucking ding dong with so and so, and off the back of it, you know, have it tactically mapped out, and is that something that.
Yeah, definitely look at that. Yeah. It was an option. You know, we'd need to be obviously aware if there's any sensitivities around that.
Celebrities are flipping at it all the time, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's no fluke that all this shit happens around the place and ends up on the front page of the Daily Mail, but because, you know, oh look, there's a Nipson. It's probably not
Trump's,
an example.
Trump's the best example of it, isn't he?
Christ, yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Just took it all to social media, didn't he? Himself, personal comments, all to social media.
Yeah. It's you're kind of looking on your phone every day, what's Trump done today, aren't you? No, I think you don't need to go down that road. There's clearly a lot of stuff in your own control that you, before you start throwing mud, you need to probably have your own house in order. So are you doing the right things, right time, right place, right people? And then, you know, if there's opportunities to stoke a fire, and it's agreed, then great.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on earlier sort of about sort of budgets, and obviously you're fully aware that the budget here isn't as as bigger. We'd like it to be bigger, but there are ways of. What's the budget like at Glamorgan, and how do you get around getting your best bang for your buck, or not as the case may be?
In terms of, and
have you sort of got examples of how you can exploit marketing channels on low budgets?
Yeah, so I think everyone's marketing budget in sport is limiting, certainly 99% of them anyway. So again, I would focus marketing spend at key matches and key match times.
Yeah.
So we tend to have a few different pots. So out of my marketing budget, I have to, at the Glamorgan, cover the match day delivery. So some more operational things like screens permanent, but cameras, speakers, all this kind of stuff that comes at quite a price. And some other costs which probably a little bit unfairly sit with me. But so go back to your question. Examples of low budget. I think it's about picking your games and the key matches and which to invest in. I think digital marketing is obviously much more cost efficient than it is going to trying to reach the whole market through more traditional means.
Yeah.
So being targeted, being specific, using your own data and your own channels where you as much as you can, maximizing those, keeping coordinated, keeping the branding coordinated as well and the messaging coordinated across those channels at the same time, so they amplifies that message too, is important.
Yeah.
And then if you have got those good relationships with the media and such, then you use those then if things are tight to create some point of interest in the local media or provide access to a player or and be tactical with the assets you've got.
Do you boost all matches, or do you just target the big ones in terms of additional marketing spend, so looking at boosting your Facebook?
Yeah, we do across 7-game T20 campaign, we'd boost every match. We wouldn't boost any other county match. It is a condensed window in which you're operating in, so we'd probably start spending on social May for fixtures that start in July, so it's probably May to August, so sort of 4 months worth of social ads there. But I think you've got to just ratchet up and ratchet down at the right time. So you might only be doing £5 a day, Facebook, £5 on Twitter. And then at the right time, you boost it. I think that you'd have to do the maths on what the available budget is, because clearly if you wanted to use other channels too, like programmatics, AdWords, there's only so much money it's going to spend.
Yeah.
So there's no point doing it if it's not going to hit the audience. But I just think you just get more targeted. So shorten the footprint, the geography that you're marketing into, or what does the data tell you about where people are buying things from? What times are they buying at? So you just get more focused on that spend rather than letting it run.
And that's the type of insights that Two Circles.
Absolutely,
In terms of sort of your career today, what's been the high and what's been the low?
I think that... geez, my first year at Glamorgan was a bit of a baptism of fire. We had 5 T20 games. 3 of them got rained off completely. 1 of them partially. We decided to give a game away to try and boost the data audience, just because it was, let's do it. We actually had a sponsor on board in Swaylek that kind of covered the cost to a degree.
Yeah.
Tom Maynard died, and yeah, that was a bit of a rough start. So high and low.
How long have you been there now?
Since 2012, so five years. 5 years in March. Highs would be, you know, I think probably talking in this last 5 years, delivering the Ashes, wonderful experience, three million profit over 4 days of sport. Being part of that achievement.
Keep that. That's 3 million profit for Glamorgan.
Is that including the front end buy?
Yeah, after we paid for the match.
And the Welsh government obviously don't recall any of their spend then, because they make it off tourism and...
Look, lost 3 million on Sri Lanka before I was there, so there's holes, the holes in the budget to fill. So,
how does that sit with all the other counties that Glamorgan have been awarded something? Or
Lancashire aren't happy about it.
That enables you to make 3 million quid.
Oh, geez, sorry, printing money. You know, 25,000 seat, they sell out to domestic T20 as well as international cricket. Just how the business models are, really.
And Hover was busy now.
Yeah, but the 6,000, they didn't do international cricket.
Yeah.
But
so
then
when is the next international down there?
ICC in
it. Yeah, June, there's five games in June, four Champions Trophy matches and an international T20.
So it is now established as an international venue?
We've got international cricket, they've got international cricket through to 2019, and there's a major match bidding process will start this year for 2020-2024.
Yeah.
So actually real certainty of revenue,
yeah.
So a lot of the revenue stream comes around that. They need to make 600 to 800 grand a year off international cricket profit. Revenue, not profit. Profit's about 250. So a lot of cost goes into where the bids are done to get the matches, and it's changed over the years from blind bidding to a fixed price to they're trying to do it now on a ratio of revenue, so like 30%. Of the revenue would go to the match fee, but there's different packages, so you bid at the level that you think you can deliver. The achievement around the Ashes was massive, but actually connected to that, as a result of all of our efforts and endeavours to, ticket sales were quite easy because people want it, but the IT20 that followed 6 weeks later was in the doldrums as a result, because everyone was just focused on Ashes. And we turned that from being a sinking ship to a sold out in 6 weeks. And that came from working so closely with Two Circles, spending some money above the line to raise awareness, but using the data really that we'd got from Ashes and previous matches and local audiences to make that event a success. We had a women's game on the same day. We had 9,000 people in the crowd of a 15,000 seat stadium watching the women's game, which finished 2 hours before the men's game started. So they got the money early.
Yeah.
And we'd projected to get about 5,000 in for the women's game. So to see that out the door, see that through was good. Obviously put on events and activities in the gap in the interim, and
to keep them there.
And then, but although you can leave and come back in cricket. And then men's games also set out.
Good stuff. I mean, in terms of the, you know, as you were here, you know, your CV's impressive. You've gone to Glamorgan. You've done 5 years. You talked about the Ashes. You know, you've been. It's been a great experience. And you've done a great job at it. What's the interest for coming back in terms of you're struggling to see what. Is it a step sideways, you would think that you're ready for a, if there was a, head of marketing at WRU and you were sat here, I'd be thinking, what's in your...
No, I think that my career path, I think it shows a commitment. I was the Blues for 8 years, been Glamorgan at five.
Yeah.
It is a bit like coming home,
yeah.
So there's a pull. I think that the structure here, although you might not necessarily believe it, is probably better in terms of that commercial team structure. Having that content guy, PR guy in there, he's supported, the marketing role's supported. I've been fighting a long fight to build that team. And I've been given it at times, it's been taken away, different commercial directors, and I think it's just been a... It feels... The timing for my move feels right, and the career feels right. The timing for... perhaps on the personal side isn't perfect, just my partner's finishing her social work degree. So come September, our youngest starts school, she'll be a second wage into the household for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah.
So I've got to be, there's a point there where I think looking at the package at the moment, it'll be a pay cut, which might be hard to swallow.
Sure.
But, you know, to rejoin the team here, to work with Reese, to with yourself and take this club forwards, it feels like it's the right time.
Well, what salary are you on?
40 plus as a bonus.
40 plus bonus. You mentioned, you know, you're a partner and a little one. I think one of the things that I've always been stressed on, you know, this industry is as the, you know, cricket is, it's antisocial, it's weekends, it's Fridays, and it's important that,
yeah,
you know, you get that work-life balance. What do you do outside of work? Is it all family related, or are you just running, cycling, jumping, or what do you do to chill out?
Yeah, certainly used to do a lot of football indoor. Getting a bit old, to be honest, for that, running around. But no, look, got a great bunch of mates. It's a really good social circle around school.
Where's home for you?
I live in Fairwater, just off St Fagans Road.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, family plays a big role in that. Two girls I've got, 8 and 3. So, yeah, keep me busy. But, yeah, look, I'm a sport fan, so any
one
opportunity
more,
to...
One more, you'd be the same as me. 3 girls.
No more, mate.
No
more.
He's going again. He's bloody father of the year, mate.
Oh,
I bet.
I bet.
Girls made last night. I was like...
He makes all of us flipping, gets us all in trouble. Flipping,
too good.
I know. It's,
last one for me is, how do you like to be managed? You've obviously, you've mentioned that you've had a bit of change sort of within that structure there, but, you know, how, I guess, how do you like to be managing, and how do you manage on to your team?
Yeah, sure. Well, quite right. Look, I'd separate leadership and management in my mind. I think leadership's about sort of setting an example creating a vision and when at times getting stuck in yourself, but really empowering people to achieve and get that sense of team success. I think management's more about process. I definitely find I'm the finisher, so I'd like to think my manager, any manager, would have trust in me to deliver. I would never say I'm going to do something and then not do it, and the same would apply to my team too. So quite a democratic approach, to be honest, when I work with a team. But when it needs, when time needs it, then I can be quite authoritarian too. So I think you need to be able to give clear direction.
Yeah.
Example of that might be, you know, it is about empowering people, really, I suppose. So this magazine we produce, started it myself, brought in a content guy last year who was a journalist. He's now working at Wales Online. And, you know, we set him standards and targets to achieve. So we want 30 content items a week. So we want to be doing, like four news stories a day at least. And it wasn't all on him. There was some supported content that came from elsewhere.
Yeah.
That could be a video piece, that could be written article, could be picture-led stories, but we're going to set you some targets. You're going to edit this, you're going to do this, we're going to support you in doing it, but it's for you to achieve. And these are your deadlines, so just make it clear and apparent. So I think like delegation skill that comes from your own time management abilities, and I'd like to think I'm getting a lot better than that.
Cool. I've got one last one. Four words or phrases that are, if I give you the four, rank them. There's no right or wrong answer.
Okay.
Everyone will give them differently.
Sure.
but rank them in order of priority to yourself in your working life, not your personal life, in your working life. And the four are financial reward, recognition, job security, and creativity. So just to elaborate on those, financial reward, obviously, you know, how much money you can earn going forward. Recognition from your bosses and the board in terms of praise and how important that is to you. How secure you are in a job, and creativity, i.e. The creative impact you can have on the role. So one being the most important, four being the least. How would you rank them in, to you as Martin Bicknell?
I think I'd probably put creativity at the top, actually. There's mastery is something that I think is really important. I think being good at your job, developing yourself, so that, because I think that leads to the others.
Okay.
So it'll lead to recognition if you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
It should lead to financial reward if you're delivering the results, and also job security, because you won't want to let that asset leave. So people are really important. You know, saying that, you know, there's defined structures that you need to work to. It can't be all about blue sky thinking every day.
Yeah.
So I think it's about channeling that creativity.
Cool. Good answer.
Yeah.